Welcome to You Are Invited, a podcast hosted by Dr. Dale Dan, where we celebrate diversity and invite everyone to share their own stories with the world. Here at Lansing Community College, we believe every voice matters. Dr. Dan and the Office of Empowerment want you, our LCC community, to be part of the conversation. Join us, share your experience, and help us build an inclusive community where everyone is heard.
Well, a good morning to you. This is so exciting. My name is Dale Dan. I'm the Chief Diversity Officer here at Lansing Community College. To say that I'm excited would be an understatement. Today we are launching our podcast series entitled You Are Invited within here at the Office Empowerment. And what is even more fascinating is that I'm here with Ezekiel, one of our students. And what is so special about this, when I first heard Ezekiel's story in my office, I was so inspired. And as he was speaking, I kept thinking, wow, it's got to go beyond my office because there's so many persons who can be encouraged by what Ezekiel has to say. We are going to have a series of podcasts here in the Office of Empowerment, but the one today is entitled, In Spite of Life, I Am Here. And it's about empowering our LCC community through our life's stories. And today we are about to enjoy the story of our very, very valued student, Ezekiel. Good morning, Ezekiel.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, please, your upbringing.
I was born in Lansing, Michigan. I moved to Louisiana for a few years, came back. I was one sibling out of five biological siblings. I was the middle child of three boys and one girl. Mm-hmm. I had three brothers. Two were older, one was younger, and then my sister was the oldest of them all. My childhood was not so great because of the middle child. I was often overlooked. There was not really any type of security in the relationship I had with my biological mother. Mm-hmm. Herself was going through it with other men that she had brought into her life. So I never had really any positive male figures around myself. I often seek comfort elsewhere because my own comfort of my own home was not possible. I want to say that my upbringing when it comes to being a person of color also was harder because of that. Mm-hmm. I was seen as to be somebody who was going to always sell drugs and be a thug and all the above.
Yes.
A lot of derogatory slang thrown towards me. Mm-hmm. And what they didn't know is actually I was complete opposite. I was a person who was always caring despite all of the pain and agony that I got. You know, the rejection from my biological mother, the rejection from my peers. I was often isolated because I didn't have any social skills because mm-hmm. I was very much neglected mm-hmm. into those situations. I wasn't pushed to find new friends. My mother didn't have any friends that were my age that she could hook me up with and have play dates and things mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. So I want to say more of that. She was very verbally abusive. I got kicked out when I was 18. I actually got adopted at the age of 19. So mm-hmm. that entirely changed my whole course of my life. I actually was my parents now, which I love and adore more than anything on the planet, have changed my life outcome from even being depressed and dropping out of high school. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't even get my GED until 2023. And then I became to LCC, got a bunch of opportunities back to back to back. Mm-hmm. And I'm also an honor roll student who kept pushing whenever things were shown that the odds weren't for me. Mm-hmm. They were very much against me. And I didn't see any, there's some days, of course, I didn't see any future. You know, there was no way I was going to make it through. But of course, once I got out of those negative affirmations, mm-hmm. constantly going into my head, and your mind is your biggest enemy, I can tell you that.
Yes.
And once you learn to work with your mind, that life becomes a lot easier. But my upbringing was very harsh on me. We have bullying and isolation, and those things really change your mental from just like constant isolation. You need socialization to feel anything, in my opinion. We're humans, we're social beings. We shouldn't neglect socializing because mm-hmm. of anything.
Yes.
Isolation is good, at some points, learning to love yourself and things mm-hmm. like that. But I feel like that we've talked that loving yourself into so much deep isolation. It's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Ezekiel. In spite of life, you're here and you're not just here. When I listen to you just now, I get the same feeling I got in my office. You've hit some really low spots in life, yet you rose up as a star. Is there a person's name that come to mind or something, one factor that caused you to just rise as a star and you're staying on that high level? What do you attribute that success to?
There's actually, I would say two people. Mm. There's a lot more than that, honestly. Mm-hmm. My father mm-hmm. is really one of them. And my parents, like I said, they're more than anything. But I want to say there is a teacher mm-hmm. that was at Eastern High School.
Yes.
That he was a black male teacher. Mm-hmm. He actually never gave up on me whenever I had any, like I would come in That's and wonderful. I would sleep or I'd come in and I wouldn't do anything that was, you know, productive and I would mm-hmm. be failing mm-hmm. like most of my other classes and, you know, I had a terrible home life. But for him, he kept pushing me whenever, when, you know, because he knew I was intelligent. He constantly pushed me to be the better me. Mm-hmm. He was actually the only class I did not fail when I was in the ninth grade because he always had faith in me. Mr. Cadogan, Christopher Cadogan, mm-hmm. Is the only reason I was even in college because without him, I wouldn't have constantly kept bashing myself Good. And not having any motivation. And of course, if I failed all my classes in high school, it would be worse for me. Another person would be Ronaldo, Rolando, actually, sorry, which is my uncle that's in Colorado. He is very much my inspiration for so much. Mm-hmm. He's probably the only person that has been through as much as I have. Yes. And that, you know, he showed me that I can come up on top every single time. Mm-hmm. When I was 8 years old, I used to go to my parents' house now and knock on their doors almost like every day. And he told my now father that, you don't know it yet, but that's your third child. Mm-hmm. And that he had faith in me since I was 8 years old and I didn't even know this person.
Yes, yes.
That made me grow really, you know, feel really cared of and loved, even though I wasn't in his presence, mm-hmm. that it was possible that there was people believing in me from even
exactly
thousands of miles away.
That's wonderful. So those are two persons who are like role models or, yes. or helpers in your life. But when you think of something, maybe even something inside of you, what is it that elevated you? What is that inner strength you think that caused you to just be buoyed up and staying so high?
I would say that the only reason that I get this way when I get so low, the only thing that brings me really up is that I've survived my worst days.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what gets you through almost every single day. Mm-hmm. And that my ambition itself is I just unmatched. I mean, I have so many. I used to be shamed for not having certain things or shamed for being very confident and all the above. And, you know my ego was too high, yes, you know, things yes. like that. And my quote unquote friends would bash me for it. But, where I'm in my life right now is that I completely love who I am and who That's I wonderful. As a person. And I'm proud of myself for getting where I was in the first place. Because without me having my ambition and my will to keep on going, I would still be continuously down. Sure, I had some weeks where they were worse than others, but I believe in myself and I believe the fact that those days can go. I can get past my worst days that are already in my life. That means that whatever is coming at me, I can always pass it. So
it's as if you've seen the worst.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I'll tell you honestly, a second time from my heart to yours, I really admire you as a person. You know, even when you elevate in life to kind of where you are right now as a star, you ask yourself sometimes, okay, so I'm studying, I'm doing well, I'm on the dean's list, but what is the purpose of it? I know you are working with young people who I'm sure are very blessed by your life, but what would you say is your main cause in life? What is focus, that focal point for you?
Building communities. Mm. I'm very heavy on
It's wonderful.
Building communities within, you know, your local community is so important. Being involved and connected through everybody is so important to me. I feel like when it comes to the kids that mm-hmm. I'm investing my mm-hmm. energy into, mm-hmm. That it's not for nothing. I mean, these kids will be adults one day and they will have a reason. They will have their own passions and their own brand and be like, hey, this might happen or I can solve this problem, helping them create problem solving skills and things like that. I want them to be able to, you know, I'm want to be the person that I didn't have when I was a child.
Exactly.
The person who would show up every single time. I think the most important thing to do is always just show up no matter what it is.
Yes.
And
yes.
Kids will forever remember that because I even go to one of my kids' basketball games and he literally gets so excited every single time he sees me. And he says, did you see that? Did you see what I did? And, you know, things like that. They think about those things and they remember those things and they go home and talk to their parents about those things.
Oh, yes.
They're very invested in the children in your community and their parents, you know. It's very, very important.
Thank you. Thank you, Ezekiel. You know, I get goosebumps listening to you because especially the state the world is in right now, to know that you want to build that community and give hope, right, a lot of these younger people is really commendable. What can people in general do, a couple of things, to further that cause that you have? How can we come alongside you and partner with you?
I said lower isolation. We have a loneliness epidemic, but the thing is that we barely anybody knows because it's silent, because no one says anything. We've been conditioned to have so much fear about talking to the person next to us, or, you know, especially when we have our phones and social media, and unfortunately, it is that damn phone. It's there's so many things that it uses to control everything we do, like, you know, instead of, you know, talking to the person next to you or making a friend in real life, why wouldn't you do that when you could just scroll on social media and find a random person or use Bumble or Tinder? And they've managed to capitalize, make friend making, making connections. And I feel like that is the worst thing that we could ever do, is let them allow you to do that, you know, paying for those things. Go out and talk to that person. Even if it's not a new friend, you know what I mean? Compliment that person and, you know, put yourself out there, because you can't keep relying on someone else. Can't have the bystander effect. You can't rely on someone else to put their foot out there and expect them to do it. You know, you need to be the one to put the foot out there.
To be there.
And put yourself into a position where you can help end the loneliness epidemic that we're in right now, because it's bad, and we all need somebody to be a friend to, or all need somebody that we can call and rely on and, you know, be there for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ezekiel, I want to assure you, you did not walk into the Office of Empowerment by accident. What you're trying to do is empower, and that's what we're about. So, of course, we're going to continue conversations after today. How can we come alongside you? How can we help indeed to be a friend, to reduce that isolation so persons feel that there are others there in their lives and there's not that void and they're not standing alone, right? So thank you for sharing that. Listen, even when we get, and I've experienced this too, even when we get to that height, a certain height in life, things still happen, right? There are challenges from day to day. Now that you have, as you said, it kind of risen up from where you were to where you are now. Even when you still have challenges, do you find you're able to deal with them better? And if so, how do you deal with them?
First, I have a lot of tools. I get a lot of advice. Advice and talking it out seems to always calm my high nervous system. And, you know, learning not to react, waiting on it. That is something that's very heavy when it comes to your body. You know, we have all these ghosts from, you know, our childhood. You have to learn to, understand that whatever you think instantly is always not going to be, you know, the actual true feeling of it. Like, anxiety is crippling. It can stop you from doing so much. And learning how to deal with anxiety, or learning anxiety is just anxiety, and understanding that it doesn't have to be... I guess what I want to really say is that anxiety is with you.
Yes,
it is not you. And I think
wonderful.
That is something that we often confuse, is that when you have neurodiversity or you have something that is, you know, hard to work with, we often define it as who we are, instead of being like, I'm a person, and right next to it is this thing that I struggle with. And I feel like building my language and building my knowledge around those things is very important. And it helps me learn how to carry such pain or agony when it comes. I learned that these things will pass, or, you know, these things don't have to be forever. Yes. And that whatever I'm struggling with right now, there's something that can't be solved.
Absolutely.
I feel like the word impossible is unrealistic. I feel like impossible is fake, that I could always find a way. And that's what people really, I often get that they don't like about what I do, is that I often, when they say it's impossible, I tell them no. And I, I find the will, I find the way, I push, I push until I can't push anymore. I learn that, you know, I have to stop and take a break, or, you know, avoid burnout and things like that.
It is so profound what you're saying, Ezekiel. The things we go through, we're not those things, right? It's as if we're externalizing it. We're not internalizing the point where we become that. You don't become poverty. You don't become pain. You don't become harassment or abuse. You are not those things. You can rise above those things by dealing with them. That's just so profound. When I listen to your story before and now, I'm thinking, as I said, of others who have gone through or are going through what you are right now, whether within our LCC community and beyond, and or beyond. What would you say to a young person who comes up to you and say to you, they're going through very similar, they've heard this, and they're going through similar. What are three things you would say to them to encourage them?
For me, it's what I was really struggling with when I came to, when I didn't know how to deal with my problems. I didn't have the tools. I want to say, if someone came to me and asked me, they had the same situation that I was, and they didn't want my advice, I would really more move towards the one thing at a time. I often constantly tried to do so many things at once, and I would burn out and I would fall over. And then things would feel impossible, and my brain would block it out and be like, no, you can't do this. But in reality, it was, there was too many things at once, and I would get overwhelmed and I stopped. I want to say that taking things pace, like, don't rush it. Just slow down yourself, slow down your brain, slow down your life. Really, you know, you have control.
Yes.
You're the, and not to bash yourself over things you can't control. I want to say, especially when it comes to external environmental factors, I would say don't internalize it. Really move forward with things that you can control.
Yep.
And then you handle, try to handle the externalized factors if you could. Don't stress over them, because you'll just fall over instantly. It will be too stressful to handle things that you can't control and things that you can't control at the same time.
Thank you so much for that. Listen, you mentioned earlier your cause, your focus in building communities. But what about your personal goal? Like, even for this year, 2025, what is that personal thing that you'd love to achieve this year?
I wouldn't really say this year. My goals are very... always thinking ahead.
Okay.
For me,
let's hear it.
My goal is, and the language is going to be very bad on this, but I want people to, I want to be a vessel for people. I want people to be able to come to me and be able to be like, hey, I need this. And me give them, you know, programs and solutions and things to help them move forward or find other outlets, or give them a person that has other outlets and, you know, things they can use to help them get past their problem or move with it, or, you know, make it easier for them to move with their problem. I am a person that always wants to be there for somebody.
Yes.
I also understand that sacrifices are sometimes that have to be made for you to be like that. And I'm willing to make that sacrifice. For me, that sacrifice is okay to help other people be their best selves, because the world would be a lot better if we all put a hand out for somebody who wants to learn to be their best selves.
These are amazing goals. Ezekiel, I've met with so many persons in my life, similar story to yours, some less, some worse. Persons have a tendency of, when they were abused or they've gone through a lot, there's anger, so they want to pass that on, you know, to somebody. There are persons who completely withdraw. You know, they don't care for life anymore. They don't want to be a part of life. And there are others like you who dare to turn those positives and those negatives into positives. And that's what you're doing. I'm seeing you since I met with you last year. Just want to encourage you to keep doing that. I think of just conversations we've had about that driving you to make a difference. When you think of the Office of Empowerment, when you think of Lansing Community College specifically, especially at this time, this period of that we're going through, What do you think are two things that we can step up and do a little better as we reach out to students within Lansing Community College? What advice can you give to us as a student?
I want to say help build stronger communities.
That's really on your heart.
Yeah. We have a lot of things that's not really, after COVID, it got really hard to make friends and make things, like, you know, more inclusive, you know, a lot of financial jobs and things like that. But we have to make people want to go to certain events. We have to make people want to do certain things. There has to be a drive. Like, you know, people are really depressed. They're so afraid to start something because they're so, because of anxiety. They need to be guided. We need to hold their hands. I want to say giving more inclusive events that are not only once a week, but multiple times per week because everyone has such a different schedule. Everyone struggles. Like, I want to say, like, there are a lot of times where there are events that I would want to go to, but everything's on Tuesday at 2:30. And I have class every single day, every Tuesday at 2:30. And there's a lot of people who go to class from 10 to 12.
Really appreciate that.
And people have events that are at 11, and they're in the middle of class, and they can't just get up and leave. And so it's like things like that are very hard for people us to connect with each other if nothing is at the right time. Making a protest at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. Everyone's driving to work. How is they're going to make it to the protest? Is it like, no one's going to be able to call off their job or all, you know, lower money, things like that. I also want to say the second thing is probably, which I already see being done, which is, you know, building more environments that are more welcoming. Things are very, I want to say, dull when you walk in, especially the East Campus. East Campus is very dull and very, in my opinion, boring. You can't, there's no love put into the building, it feels like. I feel like that if there was more creative things to be shown and we weren't bounded by social roles when it comes to, you know, what is cool to look at, what's modernistic, and all the things above, that we could expand more and help people be able to actually enjoy things that aren't just like the hallway to walk into the Star Zone from the Gannon building is very like just office. It feels like an office, like a 9-to-5 office. And that's, in my opinion, is boring. I would rather have, you know, students that work really hard in art class put their art pictures up and, you know, have maybe a whole bulletin board with events and things like that, or things that students can post their things on and promote themselves because, you know, we're all trying to get by, and things like that is very inclusive for us all.
Thank you. Your transparency means a lot, and we definitely have made notes of those things, and we're going to be looking into them. I really, really, again, want to just tell you, just be encouraged. Keep doing what you're doing. I've worked probably at 30-something institutions over the years, and Lansing Community College is by far one of my favorites. And I think it's just feeling that desire to help our students and to do something different for them, something better to empower them, coming back to the name of our office. You're in a culture of care. And we're going to stay with you. And I know you try to email you sometimes and be on top of you, text you, so that we can show you a lot of love, respect, and support for you as a person and also for all that you're doing. Ezekiel, you fit this so perfectly, this podcast. In spite of life, you're here and you're not just here. You're soaring. And congratulations, the journey that you just shared, your life story, is going to go so far and wide. And so many young people, I think, will be blessed and encouraged by it. So thank you for who you are. And we appreciate, we love you. And we are here to serve you.
Thank you.
This concludes today's episode of You Are Invited, hosted by Dr. Dale Dan. We hope this episode inspired you to reflect on your own experiences and share them with us. For additional resources on diversity and inclusion, visit us at lcc.edu/empowerment. We'd also love to hear your thoughts. Send your comments or questions to youareinvited@star.lcc.edu. Your voice helps shape future conversations. Let's keep building a stronger, more inclusive community together.
Connecting you with Lansing Community College, this is LCC Connect.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Lansing Community College Performing Arts is proud to present Summer Stage Under the Stars, featuring A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare, directed by Mary Jobe, a story of order and disorder, reality and appearance, and love and marriage. A Midsummer Night's Dream tells the twisted and humorous tale of four love-swept Athenian youths escaping parental and royal matchmaking, a bickering fairy king and queen, a royal wedding, and a rambunctious group of working-class citizens aspiring to perform in the roles of their lifetimes. Featured at LCC's Outdoor Amphitheater, June 25th through the 29th at 7 p.m. In the event of rain or extreme heat, performances will move into Dart Auditorium. All performances are free to attend. Visit lcc.edu/showinfo for more information.
Feeling froggy? Well, leap into 20-plus podcasts at lccconnect.org.
LCC Alumni Stories, a show dedicated to highlighting the amazing alumni of Lansing Community College. I'm Steve Robinson, president of LCC, and on each episode, I have the awesome privilege of getting to know one of our many inspiring alums and hearing about their experiences at and since leaving LCC.
Listen to this program and many others on demand at lccconnect.org.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
New and experienced motorcycle riders. LCC's Adult Enrichment Program offers motorcycle safety classes weekly throughout the summer for riders of all skill levels. Classes fill quickly. Find more details at lcc.edu/keeplearning.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Welcome to Community Convos, a podcast and radio program from LCC Connect with conversations about what's happening in Lansing and around mid-Michigan.
Hey, it's Dedalian back on the convo once again, and with me in the studio today is, you know, I just usually just call you Smitty.
And that works fine for me.
But is it Smitty Smith?
Is it the way it is.
Smitty's kind of like a spin on Smith, isn't it?
It is. It's Dudley on my driver's license.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have known you for quite a few years, and that is the first time I actually, week, I just learned your first name.
Here's something that has nothing to do with what we're supposed to be talking about, but I didn't know my name was Dudley till I went to kindergarten.
Oh, really?
And the teacher called the roll, you know, boys and girls, raise your hand when I call your name. And she was all done. And she's like, why didn't you raise your hand, little boy? I said, well, you didn't call my name. Well, then you must be Dudley. I said, no, it's my father. I'm Smitty. Yeah. Oh, but Dudley's your real name. I said, no, it's not. I know my name, lady. They had to call my mother. My mother had to come in and explain that I actually had a name that I just didn't know.
Well, with a name like Dedalian, I've gone through the same kind of thing. And,
right?
You know, I don't mind being off topic a little bit, so I'm going to go ahead and extend this a little bit further.
Okay, all right.
Kindergarten, the entire time, you know, I wrote out my full name, Dedalian. And back then, I used to go by Day, so it would be Day, space, Dalian. And I was looking through my kindergarten papers at one point, and I told my mom, did you realize I was spelling my name wrong the entire time in kindergarten? She had no idea. Teacher had no idea because nobody had really known the name.
Yeah.
There it is.
He's got an extra name. That's cool.
All right. Well, that's the show. Thanks, guys.
All right, Dave. And, take care.
You, of course, are stopping by to talk to me a little bit about Pump Stock. It's happening again. Pump Stock, how many years has this been going on?
This is the 15th annual Pump Stock Music Festival in East Lansing.
All right. We're going to put it out there right away. If you're already planning to go and you don't want to listen to us, that's perfectly fine. It's happening Saturday, June 7th at Bailey Park. Now, if you want to hear the rest of the details, stick around because I got Smitty here.
Here I am.
All right. Tell me a little bit about Pump Stock. When did it get started? 15 years ago. How did it come about?
Sure. Well, I used to, with my late wife, do a monthly concert series called Pump House Concerts.
Okay.
It was called Pump House Concerts because it took place in the Pump House.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. In East Lansing. The Orchard Street Pump House is a one-room community center owned by the city, managed by the neighborhood. It used to be the water pumping facility for the city of East Lansing, and it got converted through a block grant back in the 70s or something. It's just a room. There's still a well attached, you know. There's no bathroom, but we would do concerts there. And after a little bit of the concerts, we thought, man, wouldn't it be fun to do, you know, something with larger bands and something outdoors?
Yeah.
And we thought, yeah, let's do that. And we thought, Pump House Concerts, Woodstock. Oh, I know, Pump Stock. So my son drew a logo. He drew one of those well pump sort of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And he stole the hand from the guitar from the Woodstock logo. And he stole the bird from the guitar, put the bird on the nozzle of the pump, the hand pumping the pump. And that was the Pump Stock logo.
Okay, so they haven't picked up that you stole
their
stuff.
Well, you know what? For years, I hoped we'd get sued because it's publicity.
Bad publicity is good publicity.
Right.
Yep.
But then it turns out I learned later that nobody ever trademarked the Woodstock stuff. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's free to use. You can use it. I use it, whatever.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, so anyhow, that's where we come up with the word Pump Stock. We decided to do it outdoors. The first couple of years, the city of East Lansing was like, what do you want to do? You know, and because in the city's mind, an event like that must involve students, and if it involves students, it's going to go downhill really fast. And I eventually convinced them it's just a bunch of folkies listening to some great music in the park, and they turned around their attitude into, wow, this is actually really cool. You don't want money from us? Okay. They do. We get a very generous grant from the East Lansing Arts Commission every year, which helps a lot. We have a few sponsors. We used to ask for donations as people came into the park.
Yeah.
Then they redid the park, took down the fence, so that became a problem. And also finding volunteers to stand there and take donations is a challenge.
Yeah.
So now we do a Kickstarter ahead of the concert, ahead of the festival.
Okay.
So if the Kickstarter is successful, all the money to pay the musician their minimums is already there. We have a few local sponsors, a few generous grants from people. And then we put out a bucket, and any extra donations that come in day of, we give that to the musicians too. It's a zero-sum event. Every year, we pay a few expenses, not many, and then we give the musicians the rest of the money. Start over again the next year.
Yeah, and I see you got the QR code everywhere, but if somebody wanted to drop online, do they just stop by the website and donate that way?
Yeah, if you go to facebook.com/pumpstock and find the event, it's on that Pump Stock page. Within the details of the event is the URL for the Kickstarter.
Okay, and if somebody isn't a part of the Facebook? The Facebook, look at me, I'm from like 1990 there.
Anybody can email pumphouseconcerts@gmail.com. That's one word plural, pumphouseconcerts@gmail.com, and I'll send them whatever they want. I'll cut and paste the Facebook page into an email, or we'll figure that out. Also, if someone doesn't like Kickstarter or whatever, email me at that address and we'll find a way
donate. If they attend, they can always do a cash donation.
They can always do a cash donation. Yep. Yeah. We'll have some hopefully cute young children running around with the buckets to take donations that day.
Donations is appreciated, but it is free to attend.
It is free to attend. Yep.
And when is it happening? It is June 7th. What time?
June 7th. Music is from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. We have two stages, five acts on the main stage, opening up with local favorites, the Wild Honey Collective.
Oh, they're always fun. Has your approach to finding the acts, has the music changed over the years? Or do you feel like it's always kind of stayed the same?
No, it's, you know, what I'm in, I book acts that I like. Mm-hmm. And it seems other people like them too, so that's fortunate. And they tend to be what these days people call Americana, with, you know, a little bit bluegrass or bluegrass adjacent stuff thrown in. This year we've got a great blues duo coming from Chicago, which the Capital Area Blues Society is helping to sponsor. So, you know, folk, the broad umbrella at folk, but not a lot of traditional.
Okay.
The 10-pound fiddle has always done very good with the traditional folk. We're more into the alt-country, Americana, like that.
Yeah, there was one band on there that I noticed that I'm pretty sure is probably more the alt-folk, and that would be the O'Boys. Am I right on that?
Well, in their way, the O'Boys, the leader of that group, Zach Stevenson, played Buddy Holly in the traveling play production, theater production of the Buddy Holly story.
Oh, okay.
So then he got two of his friends, and they dress in the Buddy Holly vein, and they play original songs that are kind of Buddy Holly-ish.
Oh, really?
So I don't think
okay, that wasn't
country.
What I expected.
No, not at all. They call it a vinyl music for modern hearts or something. They've got modern music for vinyl hearts.
There you go. You just went backwards.
I'll tell you
either
what,
way.
Those guys are fun. They dress the part. They play the part. They'll be in the crowd ahead of time goofing around. They're just a wild set of three guys that are a lot of fun.
Okay, tell me a little bit about, I mean, I know about the Wild Honey Collective.
Sure.
But what would you describe it as to somebody who's never seen this band?
They're a modern folk band, maybe a little bit towards bluegrass. I say that just because I think pretty sure there's a banjo in the band. And it's a group of seven or eight local musicians that got together, I think, over the pandemic to make music and kept it going. And I don't know if four of them are going to show up or eight of them are going
to
show up. You know,
yeah,
it's
does
a collective,
seem to vary. Yep,
you know?
Yep.
But they're all really talented. And I saw them at the Robin Theater a few months ago and was like, oh, we need you guys there. We've typically had a local act open the day, mm-hmm. the 2 o'clock set. So if you like the Wild Honey Collective because you know of them, come right at 2 o'clock, but stick around because you're going to be impressed with every act that we've got.
Are there any other Michigan artists?
There are not.
But who else is there?
Well, the O'Boys, they're from maybe Wisconsin, Minneapolis.
Okay.
I forget. Anyhow, over there.
Over there.
Over there. Cheeseland. Other side of that big lake.
The Michigan pond.
Yeah. The blues act will blow you away. Donna Harula and Downtown Charlie Brown. They're each successful Chicago-based, Chicago-style blues musicians, and they put this duo act together. I've seen them. Donna's won all kinds of Chicago Blues Awards and has been nominated for the National Blues Awards. Charlie Brown's been playing for a long time, and they're going to just be kind of both traditional and modern Chicago-style blues.
Mm.
There's a duo, Tim Grimm. It's really Tim's band. He brings a dude named Sergio Webb with him because Sergio's this awesome guitar player.
Okay.
He's like a gun for hire, and Tim knows him really well. Tim is from Indiana. He lives in Oklahoma now. He has been on television. He goes down to Florida and does theater every year, and he's one of the great songwriters I know. He'll tell stories with his songs that will make you cry. They'll make you laugh. You'll just enjoy the heck out of him. Meanwhile, you'll be going, who's this Sergio dude? Look at him playing guitar. OMG. He's just amazing guy.
I hate to have you pick a favorite, but I'm going to do it anyway. Which one are you looking forward to watching the most?
I think the blues duo.
The blues duo.
Just because, you know, we don't get a lot of blues there, and I've seen them once. I've seen everybody else on here multiple times, and I want to see what Donna and Charlie are going to bring because they're going to bring it.
Very cool.
And that's going to be great. And then the fifth act on the main stage is Weta Skirts, led by Alexa Dawson. Alexa lives in Kansas. They're all from Kansas. Alexa's native, and Weta is some phrase that her and her friends made up that nobody else knows what it really means. So it's like an inside joke that, you know, but
that's cool.
It's kind of like, you know, we are Weta Skirts. We are the skirts, I guess. Yeah,
there it is. The other thing I wanted to ask you, though, it's mm-hmm. been 15 years that you've been doing this. Yeah. So has Mother Nature been great and blessing you with sunshine and happiness every year?
Not every year.
Okay, no. So last year
it started raining in the middle of the day, and we knew it was coming. The Bailey Park is next to the Bailey Center, which is an old grade school. It was converted to apartments, and there's still an auditorium in there.
Okay.
So if needed, we all pile into the auditorium, and it gets really comfy and cozy and crowded, but we have a great time. There's a stage in there, and we'll pull the little PA in, and we did that last year for the last two acts, and it was wonderful.
All right, so you got plans.
We got a backup plan.
Very
but
good.
I think after the rain last year, Mother Nature doesn't dare rain on us this year. I want to mention another thing, though. One of the things we've done with the support of Lois Muma and Greg Hill and Cold Plunge Records is expanded our reach into the community a little bit, And the last, this is the third year we've brought a teaching musician, musician educator in as part of Pumpstock. And we do something out in the community. So Elex is an educator as well as a great musician. Friday afternoon before Pumpstock, so the 6th, she will teach a workshop for kids, not just children, but teenagers also, on land-based songwriting.
Oh, wow. That'll be cool.
And that's free. We pay Elexa to do it, obviously, but that's because of the generosity of Cold Plunge Records. They're also sponsoring her to have a session on indigenous foods at the Old Town General Store the day after Pumpstock, Sunday.
Very cool.
So again, if you want details on that, you know, the East Lansing Public Library website has that event on there. It's also on the Facebook event for Pumpstock, or at that email address, I'll send you the details. If you got a kid, have them go to that thing. It's free for the kid. They might learn something about songwriting, might spark something, you know.
Very cool. Anything else that we didn't hit on? Other than bring a chair and bring a friend.
Bring a chair, bring your dog, bring your dog's friends, bring your friends. It's free. Bring a blanket. We'll have food. Crystal's Kitchen Barbecue and Sweet Lee's Teas and maybe Foster Coffee if we can get them to be there. And then there's kids activities, not just children. The idea is bring your kids, but they're not going to hold you back. There's a playground. There's an instrument petting zoo. There's children's art making activities. There's a clown doing glitter tattoos. Your kids will be occupied, and you can sit and enjoy the music. It's not kids' music. Mm-hmm. It's music for us adults. So the mom and dad can enjoy the day, and the kids can run wild around
just
the park.
Crazy.
And, yeah.
All right, fair enough.
It's a good time.
It's Pumpstock Music Festival, Saturday, June 7th at Bailey Park in East Lansing. You want to get the details, go to
Facebook.com/Pumpstock.
There you go.
Or you email pumphouseconcerts, all one word plural, @gmail.com.
Smitty Smith.
That's me.
Or I'm going to start calling you Dudley, I'm just saying.
That's okay. I responded.
I'm still calling you Smitty.
We can go through the names my grandchildren call me, because they can't say Smitty, but that's a whole other subject.
That is another podcast.
Smee, Spimey,
we'll
Smits.
Have to do an unusual names podcast, I think.
That's, there you go. Yeah.
You've been listening to Community Combos, a program from LCC Connect with conversations about what's happening in our community. To listen to this episode on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org or find us on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on Community Combos, email us lcc-connect@lcc.edu. And thanks for joining the Combo. Featuring the faculty, staff, students, and others that helped to make Lansing's premier college what it is today. LCC Connect, Mid-Michigan's connection to Lansing Community College. To find out more about our featured programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect.
Voices. Vibes. Vision.
The Lansing Community College Massage Clinic is open to the public and provides an opportunity for the students of the massage program to gain valuable client experience. Relaxation massages and therapeutic massages are both available at a nominal fee. Visit lcc.edu/massage for more information.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to LCC Connect. I'm Paul Schwartz, and I host a show called The Safety Plan. The Safety Plan is about the latest cyber scams and how to avoid them. You can catch The Safety Plan here on LCC Connect or listen anytime at lccconnect.org.
Hi, I'm EJ Williams for American Humane. For thousands of years, dogs have been our best friends in our worst times. Today, we're also learning that our best friends, millions of whom are abandoned each year, are often the best medicine when people are facing obstacles. To help both people and animals, organizations like American Humane have been working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, finding animals in need of forever homes and training them as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help our veterans, the elderly, and children overcome the daily obstacles of life. In this way, the rescued can become the rescuers. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
The Modern Warehousing Program through the Job Training Center at Lansing Community College is an industry-led program that prepares individuals for frontline material handling and supply chain logistic positions in medical centers, fulfillment centers, warehouses, and factories. Those who complete this program can earn multiple certifications. Visit lcc.edu/JTCtraining for more information.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cuts Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cuts Corner, brought to you by Eyewash.
In collaboration with Lansing Community College.
And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in and subscribing. Each week I provide insights into our program and hope to inspire you to challenge yourself, ultimately helping you enhance your life just as I have mine. Additionally, I offer mental skills coaching to athletes across all levels, from youth to the professional, and you can find out more at CoachCutter.com. Just a little while ago, I was on Brian Kane's Mental Performance Mastery podcast. It really was a full circle moment for me. I wanted to share a bit of my journey today and what led me into coaching, and also share a little bit about the belief circle that I teach and I talk about. Your beliefs dictate your actions, which then dictate your results. Those stack on top of each other in a circle that never really ends. I was a high school athlete and I enjoyed sports. I played for a lot of different reasons, but I played because it provided me with significance and it was something that I was okay at. I went to college and I did the same. I played both basketball and baseball in college, and at some point right around my junior year, I decided I no longer wanted to be an athlete or a student athlete and went into the business world. And through that process of about 15 years, I was an entrepreneur and I owned several different businesses. And for all intents and purposes, I was living my dream, or so I thought. I began coaching because of our oldest child, Alec. My wife and I have four children, and I coached him in football, basketball, and baseball. I became a board member to help with the organizations that I coached in, and I remember enjoying those times very much back at Pine Park. That's really where it all started. That's also where the field work started. I was coaching a youth all-star baseball team, and this is where I found out about how impactful words can be. I had some parents come up to me after a practice, and they said some really positive words about what I had done in that practice for those kids. And it just kind of stuck with me and said, oh, maybe I am okay at this. Maybe I need to work a little bit harder at this. And it made me think I could do something with coaching. So my belief, that belief circle that I talk about, my belief grew, and so did my actions. And the results are the last thing in that belief circle. And those results, those eventually came too. I spent a lot of time preparing for those little league practices and games. And one day I remember very clearly, I was in my business office and I'd spent quite a bit of time preparing for that all-star practice that was coming up that day. And I looked at the clock and it was late into the afternoon and I had been there since the early morning hours. And that's kind of when I knew that coaching might be something that I wanted to do on a little more intentional basis. So I went home that night, and crazy enough, I sat my wife down on our couch and I said, I think I want to go into coaching baseball full time. And I really didn't know what that meant, but I think she probably really didn't know what that meant either. And it was one of those things where it was going to end up being a huge paradigm shift, not only in our family, but in our lives, in the houses that we lived in, the communities, and everything else. So I searched out one of our neighbors. He was a scout for the New York Yankees and had played professional baseball. He ran a travel organization. His name was Bob Cavanaugh, and I set up a meeting with him. I met him in his garage, and I told him what my dreams were. And I remember him smiling and giving me a lot of advice, which I still remember to this day. And he said that I should probably go back to college and get the degree that I left behind when I left. And he said that I needed to become a high school baseball coach. And I remember asking him, well, what type of money do high school coaches make? And he told me, and I was shocked because that was nowhere near what, you know, a average median salary is. Most high school coaches are also teachers. Some are retired, but very few are just high school coaches. I didn't know that at the time. So after that meeting, I went home and I did one of my very first funnels and kind of laid out what the costs would be. And through that funnel, money was ended up being the biggest cost of following this dream that I had. And when I really thought about it, I thought, I can't take the money with me, but I can potentially leave an impact and most importantly, do something that I believe that I really love. And the journey marched on. I researched coaching and I wanted to be different. Yogi Berra had a quote that said baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical. I began to study the mental game because I knew it was different and it wasn't being taught. It wasn't mainstream. And I studied people like Ken Revisa, Harvey Dorfman, and that's where I discovered Brian Kane. And our relationship began to grow very slowly. I started as a high school JV assistant coach. I coached a travel team with the West Michigan Riptide. We had some success. The belief grew, and so once the belief continued to grow, so did the action. And I began to take massive action. I was given lessons at a facility called Extra Innings, first just one or two, and then eventually grew into 30 hours per week. I met a guy there by the name of Walt Gawkowski. He saw me there giving a lesson. He messaged me on Twitter a few days later. They had a coaching opening with the Clippers, and I jumped on it. What that meant was a summer away from home, three or four days at a time on the road, and I was able to learn a lot, not only from Walt and the Clippers organization, but also just from the college players that we coached. My belief grew, and therefore my action continued to grow. I became a high school head coach at North Muskegon, which is an amazing city, and really took our family in. By this time, this was our family's third house in the last 6 years. I was working two other jobs when I was a high school level head coach, trying to make the dream manageable for a family, a wife, four kids. And they involved a lot of pickups. Those pickups, I remember I was working for two men in a truck, driving a truck, picking up people's stuff and moving it. I was also working for a funeral home, picking up deceased. And I remember how humbling those times were because it was challenging and I was just trying to keep the dream alive. Money was tight, stress was high, doubts crept in, and I was trying to figure out if I was doing the right thing. Many of those costs that I'd planned for in the funnel had happened, many I was unaware of that did happen. I knew I'd need to get to the college level to have a chance at making a living doing what I love. Getting there as a head coach was more challenging than one would think. I was still coaching summer ball. That journey took me all over the Midwest, even making a stop in the weird and wild summer of 2020 in Traverse City in the Northwoods League. It was there that I coached the fourth and fifth round picks of the Los Angeles Dodgers. The fifth rounder was Gavin Stone. He was a starter this season for the World Series champs, the Dodgers. I was super thankful for the Whitecaps organization believing in me and also Josh Rebant. At that time, I was applying to places all over the country at the college level. Just one called, and it was a Division II school. I was a finalist, one of two remaining. I was coaching that summer, too, with the Muskegon Clippers, which ended up at that time, I didn't know it, but it was going to be my last with them. I showed up to a game after my interview at the Division II school. I changed in my truck from a suit to baseball pants and a uniform and a hat, which definitely makes me think of how many hats coaches wear. I found out a few days later I didn't get the job. I remember being lost, broken, and pretty much wanted to give up. My wife was the one that told me I'd worked too hard to give up on the dream. I just didn't know if I could keep going on with what I was doing with the funeral home lessons, two men in a truck, high school baseball, just trying to make it all work. Later that summer, coaching with Eclipse, we had a couple players on the team by the name of Shane Jude and Chase Bassard. They were LCC stars. Shane really had a tough summer that year, and I remember we built a pretty special relationship through all of the adversity. Maybe because I was experiencing some internal and he was experiencing external. He and Chase were talking one hot July night at Marshfield about their coach leaving here at LCC. The next steps took some time, but felt like they moved by in 24 hours. Nicole Waters interviewed along with another panel, and she was the interim athletic director at that time. She was right before Greg Laddick moved into his position. She really took a chance. I was hired in the fall of August of 2021, and my dream had become a reality. I kept stacking and was so thankful for all the fingerprints that were put on me and also my family. Belief is the single most important thing. We get to choose our hard. I chose mine. It's been humbling, but so worth it. There isn't a day that goes by that I'm complacent with anything that I'm doing. There's not a day that I believe that I've made it. There's not a day that I believe that I know everything there is to know. I love coaching and adding value to others' dreams. My mission is to build an environment for people to do their best work. And I do that on a daily basis. I absolutely love adding value to people, and I get to work on those goals every day. And I keep stacking that action, and the results and the belief keep growing. You want to work on your dream? Give me a call. I'm happy to show you what funnels and matrices look like. Thank you for listening. Keep dreaming and keep stacking. None of us are perfect, but maybe, just maybe, we can all do just a little bit more. See you down the road.
Coach Cut's Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalian Lowry. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all the platforms of social media. You can find more about our program at lccstars.com. And donations to our baseball program can be made at the same site. See you next time.
This is WLNZ Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect. a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. To find out more about LCC Connect programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.